All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and go back to Genesis 22. Genesis 22. And we'll pick up where we left off last time. And if you remember, chapter 22 is when Abraham takes his son Isaac to Mount Moriah, and there he is to offer him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that God would tell him when he got there. And we're looking at all the different pictures that are connected with this. Now, one of the things that I emphasized to you last week was that passage in 1 Corinthians 15 where Paul talks about the gospel. And he says there that he delivered unto the Corinthian church that which he had also received. And then he talked about how that Christ was crucified according to the scriptures. All right, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And so the question that I asked you was, what scriptures? And the answer to that is the Old Testament scriptures, with all of the pictures and the types and the figures and the symbols and the shadows that are there. And folks, they're there on purpose. All right? They're not there as filler material, but they're there on purpose. And they are revealing to us God's plan of redemption for mankind. And if you remember, right in the very beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, we are told that God showed up to Adam and showed him exactly what was required now that he was a sinner. And what was required was blood. All right? You remember, he brought the fig leaves and tied them around their waist. And the Lord said, nope, that's not going to do it. And God took a lamb, one for Adam, and he took a lamb, one for Eve, and he, God Almighty, shed the blood of those animals and then took those still warm, bloody skins and placed them upon Adam and Eve as a covering. And the picture is that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. All right? And that just continues all the way through the Bible. So if you lived during Paul's day or today, it doesn't matter, but you read 1 Corinthians or you go to church and you hear the preacher preach on 1 Corinthians chapter 15 about the gospel. And then you go back in Genesis and you start reading, and you all those pictures, all those things are just going to snap back into your mind, and you're going to realize before long the Holy Spirit is going to speak to your heart, to your spirit, and the Holy Spirit of God is going to say to you, everything Jesus did was according to Scripture. All right, there's no mistakes. There's nothing omitted, all right? There's no contradictions. Everything that the Lord Jesus did when he came was in fulfillment to the scriptures, just as the Bible had said, all right? Then the second thing we noticed last week was how that the transaction that took place here was solely between Father and Son. All right, everything that happened on Mount Moriah and the journey there and walking together and the wood on his back, everything, the altar being built, laying his son upon the altar preparing to shed his blood, to put the knife down into his heart and shed his own son's precious blood, all right? All of that, the whole thing was solely between father and son. You remember they left the two lads, the two servants, they left them and they walked together, both of them, Abraham and Isaac. So the whole idea was that everything that transacted that was transacted on Mount Moriah was between father and son. A beautiful picture of what happened some thousand years later when the Savior came and the Lord Jesus went to the cross, and there on that cross died for you and for me and for the sins of the world. And I showed you last week, according to Matthew 27, that from noon until 3 in the afternoon when the Lord Jesus died, but from noon until 3, a three-hour time period, and 3 is always the number of completion in the Bible, and the Lord Jesus completely paid the sin debt that you and I owe. And while he did, from noon until 3, darkness fell all over the land. In other words, what had been seen by the eyes of others from 12 o'clock noon until 3 o'clock when Jesus died, it was not seen by the eyes of men. What transacted, what transpired was solely between father and son. All right? Did we get that far? Because some of y'all are looking at me like, wow, really? Yes. I thought we had covered that. All right? So you'll remember the Lord Jesus cried and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And during that three-hour time period, God the Father turned his back on his own son, and Jesus paid the price for our sin. But all of this was transacted between father and son. Mary had absolutely nothing to do with it. Mary had nothing in the transaction, nothing, all right? The Pope had nothing to do with the transaction. Folks, listen, get you a concordance. You know what a concordance is? A concordance is a book that puts together, let's say you take the word grace, and you look up the word grace in the concordance, and it will show you every single time the word grace is used in your Bible. All right, so if you take a concordance and look up the word Pope, now, folks, listen, if Catholicism is true, but it's not, if Catholicism was true, don't you think that the most important person in Catholicism would be mentioned in the Bible? One would think, wouldn't one? All right? But no, not there. And the reason it's not there is because he's not real. All right? He's a sinner just like you, just like me, and he needs an intercessor just like you and just like me. All right? So anyway, the point is that that the Lord Jesus did not have any help when he was on that cross. He did not take a baptismal pool tank with him when he went to the cross. He did not anchor a baptismal pool on the back of the cross. All right? He did not have church membership slips. None of that. All right? He died, and he died alone for you and for me. Now, all right, let's check a couple of verses here and where we left off last week. All right, hold your place here. Hold your place here. And now let's go over to the New Testament, and we've seen the picture here now in Genesis, okay? We've seen the picture. And I pointed out to you some noticeable things. And right now we're talking about the fact that when Jesus was on the cross, it was a transaction that was done between Father and Son, just like it was with Abraham and Isaac. And so let's go over now to the New Testament, to the book of Galatians. All right, the book of Galatians. And I want to show you what Paul says here in this little book, chapter 3 of Galatians. And let's start in verse 6. It says, even as Abraham, what's the next word? Believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Verse 8, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen. All right, all you heathens, raise your hand. All right, all you heathens, raise your, come on. All you heathens, raise your hand. All right, I hate to burst your bubble, but you're all heathens. All right, raise your hand. All right, okay, good. We're all heathens. All right, so here's what he says. Remember, if you're not a Jew, then you're a Gentile. And the Jews viewed the Gentiles as heathens. Case closed. Verse 8, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, all right, so the scripture preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. All right, now let's look at that again. And the scripture, now blot out that the next statement there for just a second, and let's tie the phrase together. And the scripture preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now, what in the world is Paul saying there? Well, Paul is telling us here that the gospel was preached before the Lord Jesus. It was preached back in the Old Testament. And it was preached, in this specific example, to Abraham. All right? Now, let me ask you a question. How much did Abraham actually know about the typology and the pictures and the prophetic meaning of this sacrifice that God was commanding him to do? Do you think that Abraham just blindly obeyed God when God told him, go take your son to Moriah and there offer him as a burnt offering? Do you think that Abraham just said, okay? Now, let me just ask you, if God had showed up to you and asked you to do that. Would you not sit down and say, okay, Lord, you and I have to have a little talk here. You want me to do what? I want you to take your son, your only son, and I want you to take him to Mount Moriah, build an altar, tie him up, put him on the altar, make sure you got wood all over it and around it, because you're going to offer him as a burnt sacrifice. Not enough that you just have to take your knife and kill him. Then you have to set the wood on fire and burn up his body. Now, would you not inquire diligently? I would. I mean, if you just stop and think about all this, folks. Did Abraham just, in just an act of blind obedience, take his son and go? Or did God explain it to him? And once God explained it to him, then he had all the faith in the world. You know why? Because according to Galatians 3 right here, watch this now, and the scripture preached before the gospel, before Christ, before Jesus came and gave us the gospel, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. All right, so here's Abraham now, and he is a type. He's a picture. That's why the story is in here. We're supposed to read Abraham's story and say, oh, wait a minute, there's Jesus. There's the Lord Jesus. So that by the time you get over here into the New Testament and Jesus shows up in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Jesus goes to the cross and dies and is buried and then is raised again, by the time you get there, these Old Testament scriptures are filled with pictures of that very event. And I think what happened here is that God sat Abraham down and explained it to him. And he said, here's the gospel. In you, Abraham, all the nations of the world are going to be blessed. And now let me explain to you how they're going to be blessed. I'm going to give you a son. Chapter 12. Chapter 13 of Genesis. I'm going to give you a son. And all the world is going to be blessed by your son. I'm going to take your son's sons, and I am going to bless them, and they're going to become a great nation, and the whole world is going to be blessed through these descendants of your loins. Wow. All right. Now, so right here, Paul says that the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, in other words, way back there, God knew that he was going to justify the heathens. He had a plan. He had a savior. He had a redeemer. And so all the way along through this Old Testament, God just unveils for us picture after picture after picture of what that Redeemer would do. It was already foreordained what he would do. He would die. He would be buried. And he would raise again the third day, all according to the scripture. And so once that was explained to Abraham, Abraham was not afraid to follow through with the command. You see, if God explained to him the gospel, wait a minute, and he believed it. That's the key right there. That's always been the key with the gospel. If the gospel was explained to him and he believed it, all right, he believed it, then surely the Lord explained the resurrection to him in the process, wouldn't you think? I mean, according to 1 Corinthians 15, he did. And so that explains now Hebrews 11. Go over to Hebrews 11 for just a second. Hebrews 11. And look, please, at verse 17. Are you following me? All right. Where'd my watch go? Oh, I covered it up. All right, look at verse 17, please. All right, watch this now. Well, I'll tell you what, let's go back and get, let's go back one verse to 16. In verse 16, the author of Hebrews says, "But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, where God is not ashamed to be their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." Now watch. By faith. By what?
Faith.
Faith. Did not we just read over here in Galatians that God designed, God said, God explained that he foresaw that God would justify the heathen through what? Faith. All right, so here we are now, verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried. Now, the trial was, go offer your son. That's a trial. Man, if ever there was a trial, that was the trial. All right? By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he had, and he that had received the promises. Now, did you hear that? What promises? You see, God explained the gospel to him back there. God explained it. God gave him the promises. What promises? Abraham, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your seed. I'm going to make a great nation out of you. If you can count the stars in the heavens, that's how great of a nation I'm going to make of you. If you can go down to the Mediterranean and stand on the beach and count every grain of sand until you've got them all counted, that's what I'm going to do for you with so far as a heritage is concerned. And evidently, God went ahead and just fulfilled, told him all that was going to happen, all that Jesus was going to do. You see, it was from those people that came from Abraham, whom God blessed, it was from those people that the Redeemer came. All right? How many of you are saved in here tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
You are blessed because of Abraham. And so God said to Abraham all those years ago, "Now, son, here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to bless you. You're going to be my people. Those that stand against you, I'm going to be against them." Biden. "And those that stand with you, I'm going to be with them and bless them." All right? So Abraham, here's what I want you to do. Be obedient. You follow me. You believe me. All right? Now, I've told you what I'm going to do. Here's my plan. This is my plan. And I want you to believe it. And so now we're told here that by faith, verse 17, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he, Abraham, that had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son. Folks, does the picture not get any more clear than that? What a wonderful picture that is. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now, folks, if you got Abraham standing back here with the promises of God fresh in his mind, and God says that through the seed of Isaac, I'm going to bless the world. I'm going to bring the Redeemer. Through the seed of your son Isaac, Abraham, I'm going to bring the Redeemer. And so you're standing there thinking, wow, wow. And you're piecing Genesis 3:15 together. And you're piecing Genesis 4 with Cain and Abel. And you're seeing all of the promises that God has made to this point. And you're watching God and listening for his voice. And God then explains to you what he's going to do. And then he says, but now, Abraham, you got to do this. You got to offer your son. What do you mean I got to offer my son? You got to kill him. What? Yeah. You got to shed his blood. But God, you just said that in Isaac shall the promise be. You want me to kill the child that's going to be the promise? Yep. Kill him. I don't know if it happened this way. I just tried to put myself in the picture. You know, that's what I tried to do. I just tried to interject me with my little pea brain into the picture. And here was my argument. But Lord, if I kill him, how are you going to make a nation out of him? He's dead. Come here, son, let me explain this to you. You see, what I'm doing here is a picture. And in about 1,000 years or so, I am going to send the real Redeemer. This is a picture. But when I send the real Redeemer, it's the real thing. And they're going to take my only begotten son. And just like Isaac took the wood and carried it upon his back, the very wood that would take his life, my son is going to carry the cross, his instrument of death, through the streets of Jerusalem. And they're going to nail him to that cross. And they're going to hang him between heaven and earth after they've kept him up all night and beaten him so badly you can't even tell he's a man. Mercy. And so, Abraham, listen. Here's why I'm sending that Redeemer. You see, my son is going to take your place. Where you should have to die, I'm going to offer my son to die. Nod your head. You with me? And I'm sure Abraham thought, well, now, Lord, wait a minute. If your son dies, what's going to happen then? And God would whisper, well, now, Abraham, I can't leave my son dead. You see, he's got to be victorious over sin and death and the grave. Everybody else dies, and they stay dead. They don't come out of the grave. They don't resurrect. They die. We bury them. It's over. But my son, he's going to die. And he's going to be buried, and on the third day, just like it was the third day here, Abraham, on the third day, he's going to come out of that grave victorious over death, over sin, and over the grave. All right, nod your heads. And so, oh, Abraham's sitting here going, wait a minute. He's going to die to pay my sin debt. God, he's your son. That means he doesn't have a sin debt of his own, right? God says, you got it. Yep. No sin of his own. So, God, if he goes to that cross and dies, he's dying for me. Yep. That's exactly what it is. Yep. Only it wouldn't be yep, it'd be ken. That's yes in Hebrew. Ken. K-E-N. Ken. Did you know that? You do now. And so Abraham says, oh, well now wait a minute, Lord. So you're telling me that you want me to offer Isaac on an altar, and you want me to take his life, shed his blood, set his body on fire. Well, God, if I do that, then you're going to have to raise him up, aren't you? God says, yep. Ken, that's exactly what I'm going to do. And folks, I think, now listen, I think Abraham surely understood God's plan that he was one day going to send his only begotten son, the Lamb of God, to be offered as a sacrifice for sin. God must have explained redemption to him and explained how he was going to raise his son back to life, or in other words, resurrect him from the dead. You see, folks, if Abraham had, listen to me now, put your thinking caps on, if Abraham had no hope of a resurrection, do you think that he would willingly have walked up that mountain, laid his son on that altar, taken the knife and raised it over his head and thrust it into his son's heart? If he had no hope of a resurrection, let me just stop right here. Could you do that? But that's exactly what Abraham was intent on doing. Folks, if God had not stopped him, if God had not reached out and grabbed his arm and said, no, Abraham, don't. If God had not done that, Abraham would have killed Isaac on that altar. Why? Because he knew the gospel. God explained it to him. He believed God. Do you hear that? That's what the Bible says. He believed God. Doesn't say he believed in God. The devils believe and tremble. All right, he didn't believe in God. No, he believed God. And he knew, because God explained it to him. If I kill my son, he's going to be resurrected, just like when Jesus, the Redeemer, that was promised way back here, he knew Isaac was not the Redeemer. It was explained to him. He knew Isaac was just a picture. All right? Everybody follow me on that? That's heavy, isn't it? But I'm telling you, folks, when you sit down and just, you know, think it through, man. All right, go back to Genesis 22 for just a minute. Let me show you one more thing before we go home. All right, look at 22. Look at verse 6. Genesis 22, verse 6. All right, verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand, which means he took a bucket. All right? Abraham was not Superman. All right? You can't walk around with live burning coals in your hand. No, he had a bucket, a censer, and it carried the coals for which he was going to build the fire when he got to the altar. All right, so Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son, just like Jesus bore the cross through the streets of Jerusalem. And then it says, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went, what's the next word?
Both.
They went both of them together. So again, folks, this shows us that there was perfect agreement between Father and Son. And once Abraham explained the meaning of it all, there was perfect understanding and complete submission on the part of the Son. Isn't that amazing? Don't forget, folks, Abraham is old. He's old. I mean, Isaac could have overpowered him, no problem. But none of that happens, does it? There's no wrestling match between them. There's no, oh no, you're not doing that to me. No, I'm not getting on that altar. Are you crazy? Let me tie your hands, son. No, you're not tying my hands up. None of that. He says, son, get on the altar. He takes the wood off his back, lays it upon the stones that he has built to make an altar, lays the wood down, lays his son down, binds his hands and his feet. And the son is not arguing. There is no fighting between them, nothing. They walk together. And as they walked together, notice this, Isaac asked a question, said, Dad, we have in verse 7, we have the fire and we have the wood, but Dad, where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Where's the lamb? That's a legitimate question, don't you think? I think it is. So look at the answer Abraham gives him. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, and there it is again. Why did the Holy Spirit of God see it necessary to tell us a second time that the two of them walked together? All right? I'll tell you why, because they were in total agreement one with the other. Abraham says, my son, God will provide himself. And then notice, as soon as Abraham's answer is given, Moses, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says again, and so they went both of them together. These are the same words that we read in verse 6. And the answer that Abraham gave completely satisfied the son, Isaac. Now, let's look at the phrase, God will provide himself a lamb. Abraham said that God is going to be the lamb of the sacrifice. See it? God will provide himself. Hey, folks, do you remember in the beginning was the Word? And the Word was with God? And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. World was created by Him, all right? World was created by Him. He made everything that is. He's God. He's God in the flesh. He told the people, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Man, that blew fuses when he said that. But it's true. So, it's true that God did supply Abraham with a ram in the bushes as a substitute for Isaac. But I think in that seventh verse, I think that Abraham was seeing way down the road. He was looking centuries down the road to an old rugged cross standing on the brow of one of those mountains in the land of Moriah, a place called Calvary, where God himself, in the person of his only begotten Son, would be the Lamb of God sacrificed for us. Now, one more verse. Go back to Hebrews 11 for just a minute. Hebrews 11. All right, look at verse 12. Hebrews 11. Folks, what else could this verse mean? Look at verse 12 and 13. In verse 12, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These, what's the next word? All. These all died in faith. What's he talking about? All these Old Testament saints who understood that redemption that was coming. They believed God. They believed God. And it was counted unto them for righteousness. Just like you and I today, we believe God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Who said that? God did. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Who said that? God did. All right, so we believe God. Now read on. He says, these all died in faith. These Old Testament saints, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. I've had people say to me, you know, preacher, I can understand how God could save us after the cross, but how could God save people before the cross? Well, watch. Here we are after the cross, and we look back to the what? To the cross. How many of you were there when Jesus died? John?
Just for a little while.
No, you didn't see it. You didn't see it. So how do you know it happened? Right here, that's how you know it happened. By faith. You weren't there. So here we are now, after the cross in the New Testament era, and we look back to the event where Jesus died on that cross and paid our sin debt. Where he then was taken from the cross, wrapped in grave clothes, and buried. Because that's what you do when folks die. You bury them. Nod your heads. They rolled the stone in front. 3 days later, stone was rolled away. Jesus walks out. He's alive. Death could not keep him. All right, so here we are in the New Testament, and we look back to the cross. But now, wait a minute. What am I saying here tonight? I'm saying that all the way back here with Adam and Eve, I'm saying all the way back here with Abel and Cain, I'm saying all the way back here with Abraham and Isaac, they're standing back here going, man, I am a sinner, aren't I? I need a Savior. Huh. I can't save myself. So I'm going to go bring this old lamb. Why do I have to bring this old lamb? All the time, every year, I got to come bring a lamb. I'm running out of lambs. This is awful. When Solomon built the temple back in the old, they killed so many lambs in that dedication day when they dedicated the temple that the blood was running through the street. Thousands upon thousands of sacrifices made. That'd get old, wouldn't it? That would just get old. And so they're all sitting around going, what's the purpose for this? And that's when the Lord would send the prophets, and that's when the Lord would send a godly king like Hezekiah or Josiah, and the kings show up and the prophets show up and they're preaching. And what are they doing? They're talking about the Redeemer who would come. So we look back and they looked forward. But it's still Old Testament, New Testament, doesn't matter. It's by faith. You see that? All right? By faith. And so that's what verse 12 and 13 mean. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. Abraham did not receive. Remember, he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God, but he never found it. But he looked for it. He believed that there was a city. Oh, he found it now. But when he was here, he didn't find it. All right? So, having seen them afar off. Wow. I mean, that's self-explanatory. I think it's pretty clear that Abraham did not always clearly understand everything that was happening, but he obeyed God, and he believed his word, and when he did, he was blessed. Amen. Amen. All right? Folks, this is why you can't save yourself. Yeah, this is why you can't save yourself. You can just chalk that up. You can't save yourself. Only the Lord can save you. All right, I hope that makes sense to you. All right, well, there's more. If we're all still here next week, we'll do it again, all right? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you now for our time together tonight. What an amazing book this is. And Father, we stand in awe of your word, just like the psalmist David said. It is so easy for us to just read and blow right over all these stories and not really see what you were trying to get folks to see. Help us to see the pictures. And all the way back under Abraham and Isaac, you're showing the Redeemer. And so, Father, bless the word to our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.